musings. It was just a word that came. It's to do with being thoughtful, musings from a difficult week. And I've sort of put us past Gary yesterday, just for I wanted to share. Rhoda, she was part of the family, and she was inspirational. She really was. And for some that you maybe even if this is your first Sunday morning here, and Rhoda's just a name to you, I just want you to feel that Jesus says, the world will know that you are my disciples, you are my family, speaking of the church, by your love for one another. And I just hope that you sense that as we go through stuff, as a church family. And we have really built the leadership team and myself for a number of years has built this church on being real. It's a real gospel with real people. And this pulpit should never be used for a performance. And so for me this week, it's been on the forefront of my mind, is simply Rhoda and Fitzsimon to us as a church family. And I think it would be a miss on my just to part to one side and say, come on, let's go save the world here. So I'm really just going to speak on a few things. I think Rhoda meant to myself and for a scene in our life. It's been a difficult week for sure, but we still carry this hope within our lives because of Jesus. And if you turn to your Bibles in Luke chapter 22, I was thinking of this on Tuesday evening, verse 39 and 45. And as I read, or maybe word for word in your Bible, if it is in mine, because I'm going to use a Bible that Gary and Rhoda gifted me a while ago. It's supernatural. When they watch it, supernatural. It's supernatural Bible. So a few of the words are different, but it's a good translation as well. I read this during house church, and nobody can ever match up to fit where I'm really at. Okay. This is Jesus at the garden, gone through some stuff. And it says, according to his custom, he came out and went to the Mount of Olives, and his disciples followed him. When he came there, he said to them, pray that you may not fall into temptation. He withdrew from them about a stone's throw, and he knelt down and prayed, Father, if you are willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. And then an angel from heaven appeared to him, strengthening him. And being in anguish, he prayed more earnestly. Far kens if when you pray more earnestly, God strengthens us. And the sweat became like great drops of blood falling to the ground. When he rose from prayer and had come to his disciples, he found them sleeping from sorrow. He says to them, why do you sleep? Rise and pray, lest you fall into temptation. This was Jesus, fully God, fully man. He left the glory of heaven to walk this life that we walk, yet he walked it spotlessly, without sin, without shame. He knew the destination for him was the cross. And yet we just get a glimpse of this garden of Gethsemane, the Mount of Olives, for we see his humanity coming to the forefront. As the cup of suffering, as he was the sin of the whole world, was put on our Savior. He wrestled, he was praying, and he strengthened. He was wanting his chums, his disciples, to be with him and pray, and they fell asleep, and there was disappointment. And I was thinking with these words on Tuesday evening that Jesus says, look, this is not my will here. I'm not going to go on my emotion, the pain. I'm not going to go on the sorrow. Not my will, but Father, yours be done. And he was praying and he got strengthened and he went to the cross. And one of the major things that I gleaned for our sisters, Rhoda's life, was always her heart for not my will, but yours be done. I'm not thinking of terms of an illness here for as long as I kent Rhoda. Seems like a lifetime. We became quite close. And we were sharing just the numbers was about 10 years, but it seemed so long that she'd been part of the family here. Her heart was always, fit as God's will in this situation. How she dealt with her family, how she dealt with life, how she dealt with finances, and then conversations she'd phone for Canada, she would ask always, God, fit as your will in this situation. And some of that challenges as a pastor was tricky. She kept me on my toes. I had to ken what the Bible says about different situations. And she would say, Kevin, we do this as a fellowship. What's that in the Bible? What does God say about the moving of the gifts of the Holy Spirit? Things like communion. If it's God's will in this situation. And as we see Jesus, the Mount of Olives, he would have found people to agree with him, his disciples, if Jesus came back for a time of prayer and says, actually, I'm just going to shun the cross. His disciples would say, that's fine, because we don't think you should go there either. And sometimes this Christian life does look to the outside world a bit near wise, but we live this life as it's not about us. It's about God. And it's about what he wants. And again, as she faced this, illness, it was always, it's not my will, it's God's will. And we prayed for healing, but yet it's not my will. And our will would have been healing. Our will would have been walking in the strength of the power of the Lord. Our will would have been continual testimonies. That was our will. But yet it's not about our will. It's not about what we want. It's about what Father wants. And for me, Rhoda just exemplified somebody that Jesus was Lord. And Sam, it doesn't mark since, but that is a life of faith. We think of Abraham and his promised son, Isaac. And God says, right, that's your promise. That's what you put your hopes and dreams in. Are you willing to sacrifice it? And the test of faith was, for Abraham, was he got to do what he wanted to do, which was bring up Isaac, buy him all the best toys, sit and play with him, go and see the football together, or was it going to be a life of obedience that says, not my will, but yours be done. And he went up in that mountain, and what a sacrifice, his son, and God says, whoa, I've seen your faith, and I have provided a sacrifice for you. But Christians, people, it is still on us to live a life that would say, it's not what we want, it's what the Father wants. And that is a life of faith. Sometimes it's hard, isn't it? And God doesn't always just go against our desires. It's not every day we've just to say, this God is just wanting me to do things I don't want to do. Sometimes he works through our desires, like he wants us to do well in life. He wants our kids to be safe, to be well. He wants to provide for us as a good father. That's a lot of the gospel I like as a human. But sometimes our things are going against the grain, isn't it? Things are just kind of work out yet. We have to surrender to teachings that are hard to accept in my humanity. And through faith, we have to accept them as good for us. Try and live a life of a peacemaker is difficult sometimes, isn't it? A life of forgiveness. It's difficult. This road that we walk as Christians is a narrow road. To have a life without rage, without malice. Sometimes at that moment, you've just to say, it's not about what I want. It's about what Father wants. Do you still get angry? Still tend to get a bit mad? I had a situation on Thursday. I had just came for Gary's house. And been a busy week. And then didn't have nothing in my fridge. The really healthy people just got to get really mad at me just now. But you need to control that anger. And I'd phoned Isabel and I was like, if it would be for supper, would stuff to do at night. And I thought, let's get a chippers. So I went, Glover and Co. It was a shame that Mildred didn't work here anymore. but I had to pay a high price for my Southern Fried Chicken. And then I was standing there. I said, really, really unhealthy, but forgive my thing. I really like my Southern Fried Chicken and my chips. They got a can of juice, like a can of fizzy juice. Just to go with the picture of this is a moment that I'm just about to get some calories here. But I thought, but I'm not willing to pay the chippers prices for a can of juice. It's quite dear, isn't it, a can of juice for the chippers. So I thought, right, what's the quickest place to go in my way to my house? So Nisa, it's a corner shop. Not really in the way in my house, but it was the quickest way I could think of. So I drove up around the corner in Nisa, and I was like, hallelujah. I was a space beyond the yellow lines. Before a car, I was like, this is the Lord's plan. I'm his favourite today. God, space provided for the Lord. Jump in. Pepsi Max was on special offer. £2 for 6 tins. I grabbed 12 tins. And then as wifey comes in, I thought, move it or lose it, sister. I'm getting this before you. I'm in a rush. My chips are getting cold. My son of fried chicken. I'm very selfish, isn't I? My food's getting cold, and I need to just get this tin of juice in. I've got a family like him, hungry. So I asked the wifey out the way. Never really. And then 12 tins under the arms. And then I went out. That wifey had passed. Had parked behind me on yellow lines, leaving my 2 inches to maneuver. And I jumped in my car. In my will, would have been to slam that thing into reverse and put my foot down and teach her a lesson. It didn't mess with me and my chips. I was thinking, nay, my will, but yours be done. Keep my cool. And so reverse for 2 inches, turn the wheel, go forward for 2 inches, turn the wheel, smoke coming out my lugs. And thinking, if I did slam in reverse, put the foot down, bashed her out of way, got a while, would I came to the police station, if they came out, I would still be guilty, wouldn't I? I wouldn't be able to explain, hey, my chips was getting cold, she was parked behind me. I was forced into a decision, I did made the right decision, it's her that's to blame. I just think sometimes in life, we've got to just deal with things right. It's near my will, but it's his. And sometimes it's difficult. Sometimes we want to blow our top. Sometimes we want to take things into our own hands. But we are thing that I would say about Rhoda was this. It was always, always, always God's will. I remember when we was going through stuff at church, she was really prophetic and really discerning. And I thank her for her courage to share stuff because the church was going through stuff, yet she got a picture that, Kevin, the strength of this fellowship will be in unity. And I mean, a picture, young to all, in a circle, holding hands. And that has been fulfilled. And it was never we have this going on in the moment. Let's react to the moment. It was always, it's God's saying here, fit is God's. Well, and I want us really to be inspired by that to mark it our mantra as we deal, we know just this situation, as we deal with life, we do our heart be, let's put God first. And sometimes that's difficult, and sometimes that's in a garden, and sometimes that's sweat drops like blood. But let's not blame God. I never ever heard what I blame God for anything. Never question, never give up. In fact, she pressed in even more to God in that moment that others would have questioned. Nay, my will, but yours be done. If you turn with me to Hebrews chapter 12, so the first point was just as well. The second point is for the joy that was set before her. Hebrews 12. Therefore, since we are encompassed with such a great cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and the sin that so easily entangles us. Let us run with endurance this race that is before us. Let us look to Yeshua. It's a Hebrew name for Jesus. Let us look to Yeshua, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. Christian life's not an easy life, and I've already touched on that in my first point, but it's a worth it life. And we see a picture of Jesus that he endured, he persevered to the cross for the joy that was set before him. He had eternal matters in mind. And sometimes in this life, we have to endure things. Some things we enjoy, some things we endure. We endure the moments that we have to study for to get the grades that we want. We have to endure sometimes. Again, Stevie's here, but I failed my driving test 5 times and had to endure that. In the Christian life, we're soldiers, isn't we? The Bible describes us as fighting a good fight, as being soldiers and to be disciplined. And we've marked as soldiers, being able to endure the training, endure getting equipped, endure the time away from family. But for the goal is that there's a joy that is set before us. When I think of Rhoda, another thing that inspires me is always eternity in our heart and in our mind. There's a joy, a certain joy that was set before her, a joy that she awaits for eternity. And she had to endure some stuff. She had to endure some life's curveballs, endure some stuff that we think we tried everything, and the family tried everything to try and get her out of endurance. But yet there was a joy that was always set before her that gave her the patience and the grace to get through anything. And this was somebody that had gotten a vision in Canada about a tract to go to every house with a postcode AB. Why do such a thing? Because she knew there was a joy that is set before a believer, and she wanted the world to ken about it. And she endured, and that process was a long process to get even the track to every door with the postcode AB, and eternity will reveal the results. But there was a joy that she knew that was set before her. And for wherever we are going through the day, church, let's endure it for the joy that is set before us. For we are gone through the circumstances, might be favorable or unfavorable, but for the believer, there is a joy that is set before us. And if this was the way of the trouble, and if this was the way of the joy would far outweigh anything that we are gone through. People, let's be encouraged, and let's be a steadfast people that will endure this life with the things that we've gone through, with this, setting our hearts, setting our minds on eternal matters. And see, for Nidia, the things that we walk through in this life, they're just paling in comparison. As we set our heart, as we set our eyes upon Jesus, the world suddenly and its trials fade away. We have a joy that is set before us. Jesus endured the cross for the joy set before us. Let's go through. Let's take that attitude, the road ahead, about eternity, about being with Jesus forever, about a joy set before us. And let's endure forever we have got to endure. Let's not turn our backs on Jesus, but let's press in and be forever he's called us to be. And finally, let's keep praying. And again, I spoke this through with Gary yesterday, and I can't how many family's heart on us. Is that we faced disappointment, and we prayed for Rhoda's healing. And she's gotten her healing, people, hasn't she? She's gotten her healing. Was it our will and why we wanted to see it? God's will be done. There was a joy set before her, and she's gotten her healing. But signs from her face as disappointment and discouragement. It sometimes just gives the enemy a little room to come in with a disappointment. And then it can change your theology. It can change how we view God. It can change how we view the healing ministry. And we can become skeptical. And if anybody else was to go through similar things to Rhoda, the question for us is a fellowship. is would we do the same? Would we pray the same? We had worship nights that was arranged. We had 24 hours of prayer that was arranged. We anointed our wee oil. We prayed as a family hour 1,000 times for her. And I think Rhoda's heart would be, yes, pray. And pray even more. We cannot give up. And we cannot change that God, Jesus is the same yesterday, today and forever. And some things we just surrender to his will and say, God, you are sovereign. But yet there will be a next person that this fellowship will have to gather on, have to stand in a gap and believe for. And I think, Rhoda, I would want us to do that even more for them. And that is the true champions of faith. Sometimes it doesn't take so much faith to preach a sermon. And I didn't hear Rod ever preaching a sermon. But what an example of faith, a life that is lived out daily. And the greatest examples of faith is not often the guy at the front. It's the person to the left of you, the person to the right of you that needs love, that needs support, that keeps on going. And I look out and I ken some of the tragedies, the stories that you have been through only recently, the disappointments. But you keep loving. I don't mean to pick on families. I think of the Wiseman family, lost Marie. But they're the first. If I was on a call out for Teen Challenge or Benaya, the first to support. And they are the champions. People like that are the champions to keep going in spite of perceived disappointment, surrendering to God's will. And why do people do that? Faith, hope, and love. These three remains. When nothing is said and done, that's all we've ever got. Faith to believe that God is good, surrendering to his will. Hope that is anchored, not in this world, but our and eternal matters. And a love that will say, I'm willing to love this person, to pray for this person, a love that goes beyond disappointment, that goes beyond heartache, and we'll see every person as somebody through the eyes of the cross, worthy to be loved, worthy to be helped, worthy to visit, worthy to message, worthy to write a card to, worthy to sit and pray with, worthy to anoint oil, surrendering to God's will, but let's not lower the bar if we expect God to do. She was an absolute miracle. And God only knows for our prayers then in the heavenly realm, we can she's healed. She maybe got longer than she would have. The family and speaking to him, they get time to prepare. Maybe she was sustained through the prayers of his people. Let's not lower the bar. Let's raise it even higher. And I think I'll be due. He wrote his memory to, that's what she would want. That's what she believed in. She got me watching It's Supernatural with Sitzroth. The prayer room, you just went and you had to whisper because there was such a presence of Jesus. There was miracles, there was oil, and that was her heart was. And I think she would say, keep believing, church. Keep believing, surrender to God's will. Endure for the joy set before us. And let's keep believing. And God and I, his promises are yes and amen. I'm going to ask just a worship band would come up. She was a keen worshiper here, and I just think it's fitting just to end with a song of praise and a song of worship. I'm glad I've seen this opportunity and warned during the service. It's to a wider audience, and nobody will believe if we believe there. But yeah, it's good for us to take this opportunity just to be inspired by our life. I'm just going to pray. Let's stand. Jesus, I'm grateful that you have made it sure that it was in your word that you had a moment being fully God and fully man, perfect in every way. And you had a moment for you to say as a pain or sin was coming upon you. Not my will, but my Father's be done. And I pray we would cherish that as a fellowship. That if ever we go through our moments of indecision and temptation, this was a moment of temptation for the disciples, that we would be a people that would lay our lives before a sovereign God with a heart and with an attitude as right ahead, or not my will, it's near about us. And it's near that God's a coarse God and he's angry at us and he wants us to go through difficult things, that he's a God of love and he's King of Kings and he is Lord, and we surrender to his good and perfect and pleasing will. And we thank you for the hope that we share, that there's a joy set before us that allows us to endure if ever the world throws at us. And we thank you that this life for a Christian, a Christ follower, is a life of scorn sometimes. It's a life of persecution. It can be a life that as people look on, they look as skeptical and faithless and raise eyebrows. But yet it's a worth it life for the joy that is set before us. And God, if ever people are gone through and hear the day, may you give them strength to endure. And God, as we come to a time of praise and worship, we still believe that you're a God of miracles, a God of power, a God of salvation, a God of healing. And we pray as we lift our voices and our hearts on Jesus Christ at this moment, we ask that your Spirit would be released in this place to do the miraculous. For we simply ask in the wonderful name of Jesus. Amen. We're just going to close our service with just a song of praise and worship, but just keep on believing and keep on encountering Jesus.